Good morning, church. It is good to be here. I want to welcome all of our visitors here with us this morning. Good to see all the smiling faces and all of the kids here this morning. It is a blessing to be part of a family. Amen. I grew up in the 70s, and I know as I look out, there's many out in the audience who grew up in the 70s. What was with the 70s? I mean, that was some generation. I will confess to you that I went to the roller skating rinks. Anybody go to the roller skating rinks? Yes. I will also confess that I wore those short shorts. Now, I'm confessing that because I know some of you wore those short shorts, guys, in the 70s, right? That was part of the trend. That's just the way it was. And we had those socks, right? Pulled all the way up to the knees, you know, and had the stripes. Maybe you had a blue stripe or red stripe. But I grew up in that era, and I will confess that. The hair that grew over the years. Remember that? The bushy, bushy hair. How about the music? We want to forget some of the music from the 70s, right? It's amazing to me the power of music. It really is. Of every generation. Whatever generation you're from, I remember, so it was the end of the 70s. I want to say it was 79. I was only 8, I believe. Maybe it was 80. It was at the end of the 70s. I knew that there was a song that came out, and I was with a friend. And we were playing in his front yard. I think we were playing soccer, and this song had just been released. And I was singing it while we were playing. Maybe both of us was singing. We don't need no education, right? You could sing that with me, right? See, some of you go, let's sing it, right? We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm. You know the lyrics, right? No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Hey, teachers, leave those kids alone. All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. Pink Floyd, right? They sang that song. What I found out is that song was released in 79, and it was a protest against the boarding schools of the UK, of old, the old boarding schools, and how strict they were. But I want to focus on that, because this morning, for the sake of my lesson, I know some of us like Pink Floyd, we grew up listening to it, but I want to argue with Pink Floyd this morning that we don't need no thought control. As a matter of fact, I'm not just going to argue this morning. I want us to focus on it for the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at thought control, the why of it, the how do we control it, and the what. And they all kind of work together. But we don't need no thought control. You know, there is no power in this world besides God, of course. But there is no power in all of the world like the human mind. And it's in here today. Your mind. What's between your ears and what goes on in between your ears? As a matter of fact, when you do the research and those who are in a position to know, and they know the brain, they've studied the brain, they know the mind, they don't know everything about the mind. They're not even close to understanding the power of what God has created in every one of us. We don't even know the power. I don't even have a clue. And it's untouched by mankind, and it's very sobering. Let me tell you a very simple story. True story, years ago, Tennessee. I believe it was a church. It's an organization, a group of people in a building like this. There was a thermostat that was placed on the back wall of the room. You know, climate change. We're not all comfortable. We like different temperatures. We like it hotter. We like it cooler, right? So people were allowed to change it. So when they came in, if it was cold, they could adjust it to make it warmer. If it was hot, guess what? They could adjust it to make it cooler. And so everybody in that church or in that organization was comfortable. They were satisfied. They were happy that day when they came together. But there was one problem with that situation. That thermostat was not connected to anything. There was nothing that the thermostat was doing. And so what's the point? That gives you a little example of the power of the mind. Of believing in what we believe, that you could actually believe that it's comfortable in here and you're going to be comfortable. You could believe it's miserable and you're going to be miserable. The power of the mind. So let's talk about thought control. Here's what we're going to do this morning. Quickly first, I've got 4 points of why we need to think about thought control. The importance of controlling our thoughts. And then the end, we're going to look at 4 points again. So 8 points, right? 8-point sermon for all of you. 4 points at the end of why I disagree with Pink Floyd, and I think you do too. And we're going to look at that. First of all, why we need to focus on thought control, number one, is because we know it's obvious that our thoughts control our lives. Your thoughts control your life. What is in our heart, and even Solomon will talk about it, flowing from the heart of the springs of life, right? Our thoughts control our very lives. As parents, we wanted our children and want our children to grow up. We want them to be responsible citizens in our society. We want them to be kind. We want them to be educated. We want them to be people of character, right? But how about thought control? I've thought about this a lot. I'm not so sure that if I could teach my children one thing, that it wouldn't be how to control their thoughts. Because everything else in life will flow from that one thing. My view of God, my view of myself, my view of you, my view of the world, my view of Jesus, it all comes from the thoughts, right? So our lives flow from our very own thoughts. Number two, we should focus on thought control because our thoughts separate us from all other life. So my little doggy, right? I love doggies. So anybody, don't hear me wrong, okay? But humans are not dogs and dogs are not humans. We're different. We're obviously different, aren't we? And that difference, I think, is what we're stressing this morning about thought control. You see, animals operate on instinct. You don't. You and I, humans, we operate on decisions, on choices, on what goes in here, and then making that decision. Animals don't do that. That's why when my little Yorkie Roxy runs out in the street, she doesn't get a jaywalking ticket, right? Or when she does something she's not supposed to do, she can't get in trouble by the law. When she's sick, she doesn't know to go to the vet and take care of herself. She doesn't think like I think and like you think. She operates on instinct, and I believe that God made them that way. But you and I, you see, we operate on our decisions. Number three, why we should focus on thought control. Because, listen, those of you who have a past, hear me. I should have everybody now looking at me, right? It's our thoughts that control our past one way or the other. No matter, and I'm not here this morning, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We've talked about, through the years, our past. I've talked about my past. I'm not going to sit here and spend a lot of time on that. You all know what your past is, and I know what my past is, and I'm not making light of anybody's past. The bad that has happened to some people is terrible. We know that. You say, well, you don't know what happened to me as a little boy or a little girl. And then as I got older, that messed up my thinking and my emotions, so I made decisions, and now my whole life is a wreck. My past, right? That's just the way it is. But understand something again. We don't operate on instinct. We operate on decisions, which means you and I today, church, as we leave this building, we decide. We make the choice. Again, that doesn't make light of our suffering and our past because I've got it too, and we've got to work on that. It's not simple. We know that. But we also know that we can choose to think however we want to think. God made us that way. Lastly, number four, why we should look at thought control, because thoughts are what have made all the creative things and inventions of life, right? Whether it be good or evil, where man has placed his thoughts, All the inventions in this world have been a result of that place, right? Let me give you a quick little example. How in the world has the human family figured out how to strap hundreds of people in an enclosed piece of metal and fly them across the world at hundreds of miles an hour? Starting here and ending up on a whole other continent or a whole other country or place in the same day. And I'm making the point that that's from the thoughts. That's what the thoughts do or can do. For you military people, I was doing some research on the weight of airplanes. The small jets versus the larger jets. They range anywhere from 90,000 pounds to 875 pounds, which means, military people, that the largest jet airplanes weigh 8 times as much as an M1 Abrams tank. Why doesn't a tank fly through the air? Wasn't made to do it. That'd be a cool sight, wouldn't it, guys? See a tank flying. Probably could figure out how to do it some way. But that's the thinking, right? The power of the thoughts. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. Yes, we do. We do, don't we, church? We need to control our thoughts today, tomorrow, this week, next week, and the rest of our lives. Because there are things that happen when we don't do that. And that's where I'm going to get into the 4 points of why I, and I think all of us, disagree with Pink Floyd for the sake of this lesson. Number one, because the world wants your mind. The world wants to brainwash every one of us. And it's doing a pretty good job, isn't it? I mean, you go on down the line and look at the world, and you look at all that is in the world. You look at humanism, that we are the center of the universe. You look at secularism. You look at evolution. We came from apes. No, we did not. We did not come from apes, all right? I told my brother one time, when I go to the zoo, I don't go there to see my relatives. I go there to see animals. Right? We don't come from apes at all. We're human, created in the image of God. From humanism, secularism, evolution, pornography, let's just go on down the line. It all affects this, and the world wants to possess this. That's what it's after. That's what its desire is. And that's what your battle every day is. And isn't that what John addressed by the Spirit of God? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and following, where he lists all that is in the world and the things that are in the world, where he says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. But then he says the world is passing away. And all of its lust, but the one who does the will of God, he says, abides forever. What is all that is in the world? You name every evil. It's that world of the thoughts that was created independent of God. I think it's from the enemy, the devil. And everything that is opposed or against God and what his desires are for his creation. That's the world and its ways, and it's going to be gone. We need thought control. World wants our mind. It wants to brainwash us. Number two, I disagree with Pink Floyd. We all do. Because if we don't practice thought control, we waste ourselves. We're wasted. All of us. That's what the Who sang about, right? Remember the Who? We're all wasted. Teenage wasteland. And we all know we're being wasted. Whatever our wasted was, we all know where being wasted landed us. Nowhere good. Nowhere good at all. And part of that is because I did not control my thoughts. I think sometimes of the, I don't really even want to know the minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and even years of time that I have wasted because I wasn't thinking right. Because I didn't practice thought control. that I didn't do anything to improve you or me or anybody else that I was with or around. I didn't improve myself mentally. I didn't do anything to improve myself physically. I didn't do anything to improve myself spiritually. That was a waste. Wasted. All the wasted time. And you know what? We know when we don't spend our time thinking on things that are productive and purposeful and good and useful. You've heard that analogy of the idle mind is a devil's workshop. He will work on you. I don't care how smart you are, what degrees you've got. He'll work on you if you remain idle in your thoughts. And he'll get you. It's a waste of our time, right? To not think on the right things. See, when our minds are idle, they kind of just go down any old dirty road we want to go down. That's the thoughts. We got to work on it. How about this, okay? Number three, why I disagree with Pink Floyd and we need thought control is because of all the problems that arise in life because people haven't controlled their thoughts. I don't have time to talk about all this. We don't at all. But think about the problems in your own personal life, okay? I think of mine. I've been thinking of my own. I'll start with this one. How much I tend to worry, and why do I worry? Worried about this, worried about that, worried about those, all these things. And how often do we realize that when we worry about these things never happen? I've been driving down the road in my truck and I'm just thinking of something and I start sweating and I start getting nervous and I start acting like I'm in that situation. That's the power of the thoughts. That's the power of the mind. Jesus said, for this reason, I say to you, don't be worried about your life as to what you eat, as to what you drink, nor for your body, right? As to what you will put on, is not life more than food? And the body than clothing? You remember the chapter, Matthew 6, 25 and following, where there were those that were saying, hey, you're not washing your hands, you know, following the strict observances of the law. Jesus said, that's not what it's about. Don't worry about that. You know, you're worried about all these things. God knows what you need. When you worry, you can take from your life. You can shorten your life. How about the problem of hurt feelings in the church? Anybody ever been hurt in the church? And I'm not saying we've hurt each other here. Maybe some of us have at times. But we've all heard conversations and someone said, you know what she did to me, that church over there in so-and-so corner, how they acted? Welcome to the team, right? We all hurt people, don't we? Every single one of us. Because you see, we're sinful people. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous perfect people, if there were any such thing. He came to call imperfect sinful man and woman into a church, his body, which means when they were baptized into Jesus and forgiven of their sins, all of that other stuff wasn't washed away. Their memory, their attitudes. We're going to hurt each other sometimes. Just don't dwell on those things in those situations. Don't let it be the focus of your thoughts all the time. Sometimes when we're hurt in a certain way, if it's a big deal, we do need to talk about it. But don't dwell on those things. Don't let your mind stay there. Don't stick on problems. Lincoln said most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. I like that. Make up your mind today. I'm going to be a happy person. This is the day what? The Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then when we walk out of here, what do? We act like it. We're a joyful people, church. We love God. We love His Word. We love each other. And we're going to act that way. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. And I don't believe He was talking just eternal life. Came that you might have life, the most miserable existence upon the earth, right? full of pain and misery and sorrow and just a pathetic existence, problem-filled life, and then you're going to die. No, that's not why Jesus came to bring you and I. Came to bring us hope of a better life, of a life that begin now as we're becoming a Christian on into eternity. It's important to control our thoughts. Last point, and then I'm going to close. Why we need thought control and why I think Pink Floyd was wrong, because ultimately we are what we think. That's a truth. It's been said in a lot of ways. One is, I'm the sum total of my thoughts, right? Of my thinking. You know, sometimes we'll say, I've said it before, well, I didn't mean to say that. You know, that just kind of came out of my mouth. And I've heard the analogy of a bucket on the farm, right? And it's full of all this old farm water that's been there for months. And I'm walking it, and I bump it. What's going to come out of that bucket? Beautiful, pure drinking water, right? No, whatever was in the bucket. And so when we're walking through our life and we're with people and we say something or something comes out of us, we say, I didn't mean to. Well, we may be at that moment, but guess what was in the bucket? Whatever you slopped out of the bucket, that's what's been put in your bucket. That's why when Jesus in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20 said, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. This is the passage, actually, where there were those saying, hey, you're not washing your hands. This is it. He said, that's not where impurity comes from. It comes from your heart. It comes from what is within, from your thoughts. For all these evil things proceed, come out from within, and they defile you. Thoughts control our lives. Your thoughts separate you from all other life. Your thoughts are what can control your past, one way or the other. And your thoughts are what create in life. And we disagree this morning with Pink Floyd because the world, number one, is after our minds, wants to capture our minds, and wants to brainwash us. Number two, when we don't, we waste ourselves. Number three, when we don't control our thoughts, problems will arise in our life. It is going to be that way. And lastly, we are what we think. We are what we think. Didn't Solomon say, for what a man thinks within himself or in his heart, so is he? That's the idea. So I want to encourage you to practice thought control. I want to encourage you to come back next week, and we're going to look at the how. Practical ways in which we can control and work on controlling our minds so that it's God's word and God's will that captures our hearts and minds, not the world. This is a time where we offer an invitation, and if we can help you become a Christian, if we can help encourage you, if we can help pray for you because maybe your thoughts have been in the wrong places, this is the opportunity to come forward. We want to help you. Let us stand, let us sing, and Cliff will lead us in that song. If we can encourage you, please come forward.